Would you want to see? Seeing meant that you would have to believe in things like heaven and in Jesus and the saints and all the prophets and God is great. God is good. What if God was one of us? Just a snap like one of us. Just a stranger on a bus. Try to make his way home.
Everybody today. Great. We're going to keep it kind of mellow today. My name is John McClain, and it is the privilege of my life that I get to be at the Center for Spiritual Living on Sundays and to teach on Wednesday nights. If this is your first time here, we're very happy that you're here with us today. And please make sure you leave us your email address at the welcome table out there. We want to be in touch with you. We have a special speaker, Reverend Olivia Barham, who's going to be joining us on the podium in a few moments. And I want to introduce the Peace, Love, and Sunday Morning Orchestra. Today is Chris Wabich, Chaz Frichtel, and Leah Zener is joining us today, Bunny Hull, and under the divine guidance of Mr. John Gilliton. So let's appreciate it. It's going to be really, we have a lot to talk about today. But before we do that, let's begin the celebration by our welcome. Together, please. May those who come for peace be comforted. May those who come for truth listen to spirit within. May those who come for healing be healed. May those who look for God find God within themselves. And may we all bless each other by daring to be who we have always been, know what we have always known, and express the highest of what we know life to be. And let's also sing now.
One with the mind that creates all things, one with the inner
Before Reverend Olivia comes, actually before we hear special music and then Reverend Olivia is going to come up, I want to set up this morning's talk and share for just a few minutes about what we're going to be speaking about today. I have a purpose for the work that I do. I trust and I hope that all of you have a current purpose statement for yourself. We can get hung up in purpose statements, vision statements, mission statements, all kinds of things, and we're encouraged to have all of those. But for me, a purpose statement says it all. Why are you choosing to do this at this particular time? Or what do you hope to achieve with your life? One of the reasons that I chose to do ministry was because I know it would benefit me. By being in the flow of truth teaching all the time. It's completely selfish, I will admit that. But some of the other reasons are, is that I wanted to help people who had ears to hear, to be free from the oppression of religious superstition and taboo. And that includes being in religious science. Because even in religious science, We do have dogma when we say we don't, and we do have taboo. And my purpose is to help people have a new thought about everything that comes into their world, not to mindlessly repeat something that they were told they were supposed to be thinking about a certain idea, but to cultivate the capacity to think critically and to think originally. And to know that nothing, no one, no idea, supersedes or takes precedent over that which is in the individual's heart and conscience. One of these taboos that we have in religious science is that we're not supposed to use the word die. We're supposed to sort of pretend that that never happens. And that's an old holdover from Christian science, and I understand the utility of it, I truly do. But I think it's time for a broader and a richer conversation around that idea as well. Because all things in the manifest world arise from the ground of being, and they will recede back into the ground of being to be recycled for another purpose. And that includes our bodies. But does not include you. And here's the difference. We'll have a two-minute lesson in Buddhism right now. I would ask you if you have furniture. And all of us have furniture. But are you your furniture? No. Almost all of us have a car. Are you your car? No. Now, you can do that ad infinitum, or ad nauseum, actually. That's better. But you get that idea, right? You have thoughts, but are you your thoughts? Are you? No. No. Because somebody is thinking the thoughts. So you're not your thoughts. You have a left arm. Are you your left arm? No. You have a body. Are you your body? No. Well, what are you? You are an aspect of consciousness. You are a localized aspect of consciousness that is here for a particular reason, and it is my belief that part of you, that part of us, that is now, always was, is having this experience, and after we are complete with our bodily experience here, some part of us, that part of us will go on. So you are not your body. So it is not glib to say that you are immortal. It's accurate. But alas, our bodies are not. This morning, We are blessed to have these extraordinary musicians who are going to play for us now. And we're dedicating the rest of the service to exploring a few ideas about this, because we often or always talk about what is it that constitutes a good life. And we work with those ideas about what constitutes a good life. But it's also time, no matter what age you are, to really be thinking about what constitutes a good death. If we ignore that, we're ignoring something really critically important about the human experience. And when we ignore anything that's critically important, we lose important power that's available to us to be in the present moment for however long those present moments last. And so that's really the point of what we're talking about today. So we're going to have some music again, and then I will introduce Reverend Olivia.
Thank you.
Fantastic. If any of you have had the opportunity to be with your chosen one at the moment of their passing, raise your hands, as I have. Some of us, yes. You know that it is the pearl of great price. It's an astonishing experience of love. And Reverend Olivia Barham is dedicating her life to not only spreading that message, but to facilitating that experience. She has a ministry that is called Sacred Crossings, which assists people and their families in their last days together, and also does work with home funerals and things of that nature, which is a movement which is becoming not quite mainstream, but not uncommon. She's also the president of the board of Anamkara, which is a new hospice, which is coming together in Topanga Canyon. And John Gilliton is involved in Anamkara, as is Olivia, and we'll talk a little bit more about that during the announcements. But I guess at this point, I would simply like you to say good morning to Reverend Olivia Barham. And
good morning, everyone. This is a real honor and a real pleasure, and it's very unusual for me to speak for 10 minutes. I have no idea what 10 minutes is. My talks go for an hour to 3 hours, so will you let me know when I'm close?
Sure.
Thank you. As Reverend John explained to you, I am a deaf midwife and a home funeral guide, and I assist families in making their transition a sacred and holy one. And then I assist the families in keeping that liminal space open for 3 more days, because something extraordinary happens when the body is present to the loved ones. Something extraordinary happens to them, the loved ones, and also to the body that you're looking at. So my ministry includes those 3 days and ends in an incredible life celebration for the family. So that is the entire work that I do, but today I'm just going to speak about the first part, which is conscious dying. A sacred crossings deaf midwife is one who escorts a loved one toward a conscious dying experience, assists their families in bathing and dressing the body, preparing the body, and helping them create the funeral. So in talking about conscious dying, I want to first read you a beautiful poem by Friedrich Nietzsche. To die proudly when it is no longer possible to live proudly. Death of one's own free choice. Death at the proper time, with a clear head and with joyfulness, consummated in the midst of children and witnesses, so that an actual leave-taking is possible while he who is leaving is still there. And that, to me, encapsulates what conscious dying really is. It is embracing your dying experience as a joyful one. What if? What if we went towards our death like this instead of like this? What would that do to our spirit, our soul, and most of all, our loved ones? What gift can we leave them if we are ready? If we are prepared, if we are at peace and in joy, I honestly believe that we can move towards this place in a place of joy. But it takes practice and learning and understanding and a willingness to dive deep into that pool. And in our culture, we are not given permission to do that. The medical industry does everything they can to save us. We cannot be saved in this physical body. This physical body has a finite time period here. It's like a piece of string. It begins and it ends, the physical body. There's no saving, there's just extending it a little while longer. But for what? And dare we ask ourselves that? For what? And are we willing, when the time comes, to say, thank you, I am ready. This is what I want now. I believe that we all know when we're going to die. And in my experience, it usually happens about 9 months, interestingly enough, before it happens. There's a little fluttering, a little uh-oh. And sometimes it's so tiny that 99.9% of people miss it. Or if they catch it, that's the moment they rush to the doctor to get that one last cure, that one last please, I need a few more months. But what if, when the flickering happened, it was like the sperm meeting the egg, and that was the beginning of 9 months worth of preparing, accepting, getting ready, putting things in order, so that when the birth came, you invited the death midwife, like you would the birth midwife, to come and hold open that liminal space, hold open the door, and gently guide you through. What if? Imagine the amount of stress and fear and suffering that could be eliminated from all of our lives if we learned how to do it that way. There is an incredible man called Stephen Jenkinson. He also is known as Grief Walker. And he says, the reason we love a flower is because we know it's going to die. If you put a real flower and a plastic flower on the table, this one will live for probably 100 years. But your heart is drawn to the one that is going to die, because there is the beauty in that, in the temporary nature of it. That's what we love, not the fact that it's going to be here forever. And he invites us to love the end of our life as we do the beginning. Love the end of your relationship as much as the beginning, knowing that it's a whole piece. When my mother was born, her grandmother presented her mother with a christening robe and a burial trousseau, hand-sewn out of the same piece of cloth. Apparently it was a tradition in our family, so maybe this death midwifery thing has been in my DNA for a long time. I don't know, because I've not heard of it since. But Mother said, when she was christened in the church, and it was beautiful, and this burial trousseau, which was full length, 6 foot, was folded up carefully, wrapped in tissue, and placed in the bottom drawer. And it moved with her wherever she went. So when she was dying, she called me to her in England, and I went to be with her. And she was very, very consciously dying. She had consciously chosen about 9 months previously to do no more treatment. She was tired of all that. What's the point? I know where I'm going. I want to go home. Okay, Mom. And every time somebody said, but what if? She would go, stop. This is my body and my life. I know what I'm doing. You'll just have to deal with it. So we did. She commanded that we follow her because she knew how to die, and did we have the courage to go with her that way? So we did. And so a week before she died, she would get up every day. We would help her brush her hair. She would get dressed and sit in the chair. That's all she could manage. She was dying of ovarian cancer. And then two or three days before she died, she said, get out a piece of paper. I'm going to dictate my funeral. It's like, okay, Mom. And you can imagine, it was very painful for me. This was 10 years ago. This is what started me on my path, so to speak. So I wasn't familiar with this so much. And a big part of me still wanted to go, do we have to talk about that now? Yes, we do. Get your paper out. This is how it's going to be. And she said the hymns and the page number in the book that they were. And I was not to use that book because the words were wrong on the third verse. And don't invite so-and-so. He coughs too loud. And it was all written down. And it's Lent. So if I die during Lent, you can't put flowers in church. And so be mindful of the vicar. And all these little things. I had to take down everything to the last detail. Where she wanted me to sit in the church. It was beautiful, though. She chose her poems, and it was all done. She goes, there now. All you have to add is the date. Wow, Mom. And then, about 3 days later, she said, don't brush my hair today. I'm going home. And we knew when Mother said something, she meant it. And sure enough, 18 hours later, she made her transition. And it was very bold, and it was brave, and it was rich, and it was luscious, and I just can't describe how exquisite it was to be there with her. But one thing I noticed, perhaps more than anything else, while she was laying there, she was holding my sister and I, she was holding our hands very tightly. I love you so much. She had a lot of the what we call the death rattle when there's a lot of mucus in the throat. But I knew she could still hear us, and she was consciously nodding when there was a yes or a no. And the grip was not her fear. She wasn't afraid at all. It was her love for us. Imagine you have to, in a minute, you're going to say goodbye forever. And she knew that. And that was what she was holding on to. But I could tell that her holding on to us like that and her also trying to leave was in direct conflict with, and that was causing her suffering. I could see it. And I looked at her and I said, Mom, would it be easier if we moved away? And she nodded through the death rattle. And she couldn't let go because she loved us so much. So we peeled her fingers off one at a time and we placed them on her chest. And we stopped, and my sister and I walked away to the other side of the room. And instantly, her breathing calmed down. She didn't need us there. We watched her die from over there. And it was between her and what she called her maker. I came in alone. I'm going out alone. That taught me so much. So many people regret not being there for the last breath. But I believe that if we can do this consciously, and consciously means being fully present and fully aware to what is really happening, perhaps having people really close and holding us and telling how much they love us is not as helpful as giving us space and trusting that we know how to do this. So a big part of my teaching now is teaching people how to listen to their loved one. Let them take the lead. Keep your stuff out of it if you can. And it is hard when you really love somebody. But that is the gift of being truly present to what is. When she did finally leave, it wasn't a big amazing thing. It was the subtlest, softest, kindest thing. It was like scent from a flower, if you will. You know, it's there, it's in the flower, but it's over here too. That's what it felt like. Suddenly the room was Mother. The entire space. So, and her body is still present. And there's nobody rushing around trying to plug in wires or fuss, or she just left her body with us. And it was beautiful. So we got to inhale mother in a new way and learn how to dress ourselves with mother and be with her in a different way, because that's what transition is. We're not with our body anymore. Now where are we? We're not a child with a mother anymore. Now who are we? So the question is, who am I now? And you get to ask yourself that question if you're given some time and space with the body. You see, this is death. This is me. She's gone. I'm still here. Maybe she's not gone. What does this mean? Who am I now? Who am I now? Who am I now that my loved one no longer is inside their physical body? Sorry, I went off at a bit of a tangent there. I was going to focus on conscious dying. So during my ministry, what happens is I go into families, into homes. Very often somebody will call me 2 days before the loved one is dying. When the loved one now is unconscious and they're not able to participate in their conscious dying experience. And then the family say, we'd like to have a home funeral. And what I realized was, although I help the family create that anyway, it was sad because the preparation part had been lost. So when the dying happens, it's much more intense, much more stressful, much more difficult than it need be if we were to take our time and prepare. So just as there is a healthcare directive, which is a document where you can choose a healthcare advocate, and I'm sure most of you are aware of this, somebody who's going to make sure that the medical profession pays attention to your wishes, I've created a death care directive. And this is a document where you assign a death care advocate, somebody who you have shared all of your wishes for how you would like it to be, or from the moment you take your last breath. How many of us think about that? Well, when that happens, that's you deal with it. But what if we could participate in those next 3 days, even though physically we might not be in the shell? We're definitely going to be there. So why not set it up ahead of time so it's this incredible event which honors you, which speaks to who you really were, which looks at the brushstroke of your life. And while you're preparing that to give to others, you're also asking yourself, yes, what has my life been about? Who am I? Did I accomplish? What did I miss? What did I learn? So this document invites you to write everything down. What would you like to be around you while you're dying? Would you like to be buried? Green burial, roses, lilies, a shroud, your suit, your bridal dress? Do you want those red stiletto shoes? Would you like to be laid on a bed somewhere, a couch, the massage table, the floor? What would that look like if all of your family arrived in your living room and there you were? Wow, what a concept. How could we inspire our whole community to come in and have a look? I just came off a 5-day incredible wake at the top of Topanga Canyon. It was just fabulous. 100 people decorated this beautiful cardboard cremation box. And then while he was laying in honor in a place in the house, he looked like the Pope. He had a little hat on, dressed all in white, this beautiful white Indian garment that his wife had purchased. And then we laid him in the box and everybody came and celebrated. What if you could start to write that down? Be the director and the producer of your own special event. Don't miss it. Because even the thinking about it will invite you to go into a space that you've not yet perhaps investigated. And why miss? Why miss that opportunity? We're here for such a short time. Death, I guarantee, is a part of it. And with that, thank you, John.
I love that.
Very subtle, but very cool. When you go into the lobby, I teach death midwifery and home funeral classes. You please write your name on the sign-in sheet and I'll add you to the mailing list for more information about what it means to die consciously. Thank you for your time. God bless.
Thank you so much. I know that this is a challenge, maybe to some old school religious science people, but my new thought is that sickness, old age, and death are not failures. They are not failures of consciousness, and I personally will not entertain any talk about that in my ministry. That's an old thought about the practice. And the new thought is that life abides. And while we're here, we'll celebrate, and on our way out, we'll celebrate as well. I think that's important. Before we do have another piece of music, and I'll go on the record right now. If I should be abducted by aliens or otherwise die, I would like Bunny to sing Bridges, and John, I would like you to play Autumn in New York. Those are my only requests. I'm perfect, whole, and complete. One of us did die over the weekend, and most of you don't know him, but the Wednesday night class folks know Bob Day, and I saw him on Wednesday. And he said, great, he's having his gallbladder out, and I'll be in church on Sunday. And I'm going to assume that Bob is sitting there on that chair. And it's always, I'm very shocked and grieved by it. That's so it goes. So handle your business. There's great joy and power that comes when we handle our business. Of every possible kind. And that's what we're here to support each other to do. That said, let's have another piece of music. Thank you. Yeah. Would our ushers come forward, please? I was with friends yesterday in San Jose, and minister friends, and one of them was saying, who's also a Jungian analyst, that very often people will ask for something to eat just before they pass. And I thought, well, you know, my maternal grandfather died at the dinner table. My maternal grandmother, the last thing she said was, "I'd like a cream soda." And I know my father said to my mother, "I really want some chocolate ice cream. Take me to Friendly's to get some ice cream." And so if I'm going to stop saying I need to go downstairs and get a chocolate chip cookie, I'm not going to say that anymore. Just in case. Let's know our offering together, please. I choose to give easily and joyfully. For God is my source, and abundance is my nature.
So it is.
Showered with treasures, love and light, so we give back our gifts to life. Life is for sharing the blessings we've come to know, so we open our hearts and show we care, and each day we give what is ours to share. We live in each moment in faith and in trust. We dream our dreams because we shape our destiny day by day. We face tomorrow walking away. Hey, life is forgiving, giving back what we've been given. We've been showered with treasures, so we give back our gifts to life. So we give back our gifts to life. So we give back our gifts to life.
What a super, super sweet day. My goodness. A few announcements. We do not have class this week or next week, but starting the week after, which is Wednesday, the 29th of October, we're going to have 5 weeks on Jungian spirituality. It's something that I think at this point in our educational evolution is really important to understand some ideas that are present in the science of mind in a richer, context, and so we'll be engaging in some Jungian spirituality for 5 weeks on Wednesday nights. Downstairs, of course, there is a fellowship, and I always encourage everyone to participate in that, because fellowship happens when we encourage each other on our journeys. If you'd like affirmative prayer, some treatment support for any joy or concern you might have, our practitioners are happy to treat with you on the sunny side of the lobby. Please just find somebody that has a name tag and ask them if they would treat with you, and the answer will be, of course, yes. Dance class will be at Hollywood Dance Center this Friday at 11 o'clock. Again, if you have not been, do not delay. It's one of the coolest, funnest things on the planet. This is for dancers who are non-professionals, but darling human beings. And everyone is certainly welcome to that. I know that there is a fundraiser for Actors and Others for Animals tomorrow night, and you know Joanne Worley, who's here today, is the president of that organization, and you can speak to her about buying some tickets for that, I am sure.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Of course, Joanne is here in the house. Yes. And Joanne, you weren't here last week, but we had our annual blessing of our animal family.
I know.
She's very domineering. But I like to think of that as Animals and Others for Actors, who bless their hearts always need some prayer support. So, yes, we did that last week. Who was here last week when we did that? Magic, yes? Yet again. It's a field of grace that unfolds in real time, and it's an extraordinary experience. One last announcement is that because John and Reverend Olivia are involved, the Topanga Folk Festival at the end of this month, there are cards on the welcome table, is being held to benefit Anamkara, this hospice that they're both involved with. So please make sure you pick up one of these postcards. I know that I will be there. And that is October 26th. Sorry, it takes me a while to find numbers. It's, you know, design. Design projects. October 26th in Topanga Canyon. Great. So I will be there after this service. Reverend Olivia will be in the lobby, and you can speak to her, sign up for her mailing address. The Death Care Directives supports Reverend Olivia's ministry, so please buy one of those if you like. And we also have, I bought something that's called Five Wishes, which is a document that is recognized in almost every state in the country, where you can supplement end-of-life concerns that you might have. So that is on the book table, and you are welcome to take one of those. But here's my thing. If you're taking one, use it. Do not take one and throw it out, and do not take one and think, I'm going to do this sometime. They cost money, and we are honored to share them with you, but take one and complete it, please. That's my only request. My only other request is that we have some silence now, and I want to acknowledge our beautiful musicians. What a gift today this was. It was really sweet, and I think Leah's the keeper, John. I kind of like this addition to the ensemble. Yeah, it's pretty sweet. Okay, we'll talk about that later. Let's go into the silence now as we complete this wonderful day, please.
In the silence there is peace. In the silence there is unspoken joy. In the silence there's release from a world full of chaos and noise. When I hear all that has never been said, and right here in this holy silence, I find God. I find
myself. Breathe deep. And when we sing in this holy silence, we find God, we find ourselves. That is the eternal you. That is the you that is not your car and not your house. It's not your accomplishments. It is not your ideas, nor is it your body, but it is the you that you may call whatever you like, be it God or I am, or by your given name. But that is the eternal self, which has found foothold in this world by means of your life, to experience something glorious. The eternal you that always was is now and will move on when it is complete. Take these very few moments and establish a real holy communion between your conscious mind and your true eternal self. And let's support each other in that realization and the silence together now. There is a mind, and that mind is God's mind. And that mind is mine as well, and yours. It is a principle, ever creating life, sustaining life, and recycling it as well, for greater and rich purposes. And I know that. I know that as an expression of God mind, the I am that I am in the really real world of the truly true is perfect and eternal. And so I rededicate myself right now to living from that center, from that I am, and having the richest possible experience I can have while I am here, that I will give and receive love, that I am willing to be blessed and be a blessing, that I'm willing to be a presence that will heal and prosper and bless. This is what we get to do. And I am willing to do it. And so it is. And amen. Ashe. And breathe deep once more. Yes. And know that you have done something good for yourself by your willingness to be here today. And for those of us that have a whole week ahead of us, there is much good to be experienced. I urge you to do it with great vigor. And let's all stand, please. An affirmation of what it is we stand for, because we know that no matter what else is going on, and there are things that are always happening in our world, it will always also be true that all is well, and life is good, and we are truly blessed. And so it is. Have a great week.
What would it be, and would you call it to his face, if you were faced with him in all his glory? What would you ask if you had just one question? Just a stranger on a bus, trying to make his way home.
Have a beautiful day, everyone.
What a fabulous day. Yeah, you were just great.